Glory. Today has been a great day. The Lord has been with us. He is here tonight. Thank you, Brother Rutledge, and all of your fine folks for the great love that we have felt here and the great spirit. We have enjoyed being with you folks so much. It's been a real treat for us. And we're going to continue to pray. Great blessings to you folks. And a great revival to continue and for God to move and bless in a mighty way. Hallelujah. So as we move on in the work of the Lord, we desire your prayers that the Lord would help us to do what he wants us to do. Hallelujah. I am feeling tonight like talking to you from the 6th chapter of John. John, the 6th chapter. And let's begin with verse 5, I think. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. You may be seated. Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about several things. But one of them is sitting down. Sitting down. I'd like for us to pray, just a word. We've prayed a lot in this service, and we've enjoyed this great service, all the fine music and worship testimonies, but let's just believe the Lord right now. God, we believe you right now. We're trusting you. We're asking for your help and your divine guidance. In the name of the Lord, let these words go where you want them to go. Let every heart say yes to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was before 5,000 men besides women and children. A vast multitude at evening in the desert needed bread. No food was available. The disciples, being very concerned about the needs of the multitude, came to Jesus and said, Lord, we don't have food for this multitude. You better send them away so they can get food. Jesus, and you have to look at all of the 4 Gospels to really get the complete story. And by the way, this is the only miracle of Jesus mentioned in all 4 Gospels. Jesus looked at them and said, Give ye them to eat. They seemed to say, Lord, you don't really understand. We don't have anything. We have nothing. How many times do we in a great need think more of what we don't have rather than what God can do? Still in line with what we were talking about concerning the door and the wall. We have a tendency to look at the wall instead of looking at the door. We look at the problem instead of the solution. The question instead of the answer. Jesus is the answer. He is the solution. He is the door. And He is the bread. He was what they needed at this moment. But the disciples were very concerned about getting enough food to the multitude. They said, "We have nothing." How many times do we tell the Lord, "God, I am not talented. I am not capable. I cannot do what needs to be done. I don't know what to do, God." The pastor sometimes will ask people, "Will you take this Sunday school class? Will you knock doors? Will you sing? Will you take this responsibility?" How many times are we tempted to say, "God, I can't. Pastor, I don't know how." Instead of putting what we have into the Lord's hand and remembering that when it is in His hand, it's always enough. It's always sufficient. Jesus took the little lad's lunch, and that was all they could find available, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And as you remember, He fed the multitude. If we can only believe God enough to trust Him. Now, where does the sitting down come in? Jesus is about to do one of His greatest miracles. He tells the disciples to tell everybody to sit down. If that had been in one of our Pentecostal services and we were about to do one of our greatest miracles, we would probably say, "Let's all stand." But Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." I do not believe the physical posture is that important in a service. It's nice to stand. It's nice to worship. It's nice to do what all we do. In fact, we have scripture for what we do. But on the day of Pentecost, it was not the physical posture that brought Pentecost. It was the spiritual posture. It was the position of the spiritual man. How often do we pace the floor and remain standing and try to get our hand on what God's trying to do because it's difficult for us to trust Him instead of sitting down and letting Him do what needs to be done? Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." One of the hardest things to do when you're trying to trust God for anything is to tell your spirit, "Sit down." Your attitude, "Sit down." Quit getting worried. Quit getting upset. Quit fretting. Quit getting discouraged. Quit saying nothing is going to happen. Quit saying there will never be another opportunity like this. There will never be anything good again. Everything is going wrong. Sit down and trust the Master. Put it into His hand. Believe Him. He knows exactly what to do. All they did was to put a little lad's lunch into the hand of the Master. And when they did, He began to feed the multitude and was able to feed 5,000 men besides women and children, and took up 12 baskets full left over. He is still the Creator. He is still the miracle worker. The little widow woman who had such a great debt, so much so that she said, as she came to the prophet for help, "Prophet, I guess that there is no other way but to allow my two sons to be taken in payment for the debt. I have no money. I cannot pay. The creditors are coming and they're going to take my sons. The prophet looked at her and he said, "What do you have in your house?" You recall what the widow woman said? She said, "I have nothing in my house." Then, almost as an afterthought, she said, "Save a pot of oil." I do have just a pot of oil. I have a cruse of oil left in my house. That's all I have. See, that was going to be the key to her miracle. That was going to be the beginning of her answer. But she had almost overlooked it because she said, "I have nothing." Many times we get into this nothing syndrome. I can't. I cannot do it. I have nothing and I am nothing. But remember, Almighty God began with nothing when He created the world. That's where miracles begin, is with nothing. When He spoke the worlds into existence, when He formed the universe, He began with nothing. Can He do it again? Hallelujah. But many times we have something. How many people can really truthfully say, "I can't do anything and I have nothing"? We all have a little bit of talent. We all have a little bit of ability. We all have a little bit of know-how. If we will only just place that little bit into God's hand and watch a miracle begin to happen. When we put things in man's hand, they diminish. They have a way of disappearing. When we put things into God's hand, they have a way of multiplying. That's why it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." When we place it into God's hand, when we say, "Lord, here is my little effort. Here is my little bit. Here is my almost nothing, God. I offer it to you." And when we really trust God, the Lord can miraculously take that nothing and make something. He can begin to multiply that. So the prophet told the woman, he said, "You and your sons go borrow all the vessels you can find." You remember? They borrowed a bunch of vessels, brought them in the house, closed the door. He told her, "Now you start pouring from that cruse of oil." She poured and one vessel was full. She poured and another vessel was full. She poured and another vessel was full. She poured and another vessel. She went all the way down to the end of the vessels and filled every vessel. And the Bible says, then the oil was stayed. In other words, it stopped. This is what I call cruise control. When He controls the cruise, hallelujah. When He controls the pot of oil, folks, it's going to keep going. But when we hold our hand on the pot of oil, when we hold our hand on the cruise and we say, "I want to control it," He'll say, "All right, I'll just let you do it. Lord, I don't make enough money to pay tithes." "All right, let's just see what you can do financially. We'll just let you manage your finance all by yourself." But when we say, "God, I'm going to put you first. God, I'm going to pay my tithes. Not only am I going to give you a part of my money, I'm going to give you a part of my time. I'm going to give you a part of my talent. I'm going to give you a part of everything, God. In fact, I'm going to give you everything instead of a part." You watch God start helping you with the finances. Watch God start helping you with your family. You watch God start helping you rear your children. In fact, everything you do, when you place it into God's hand, it gets better. It multiplies. God and the devil are great mathematicians. The devil divides and subtracts. God adds and multiplies. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hallelujah. And He will multiply, my friend. Just offer your little bit to Jesus and watch what He will do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Jesus had the disciples to have all the men to be seated. Sit down. Leave it alone. Let me do it. Let me work it out. This doesn't mean we don't put forth some effort. This doesn't mean that if you're wanting a job, you just sleep all day and say, God, you're going to give me a job anyway. No, no. You fill out every application you can. You knock every door you can. You do everything you can. You beat the sidewalk. And then when you get a job, you say, thank you, God, for giving me a job. Hallelujah. Praise God. So everybody sat down and Jesus began to break the bread. He took one loaf. Now how many loaves are there? Five. He took one loaf and He began to break. Amen. Praise the Lord. And He broke off a little more bread. And He broke off a little more bread. And He broke off a little more bread. Look at there. Even at his age, Brother Minor has a good imagination. A lot of faith, see. He broke off a little more bread. Now, the first loaf was gone. Do we have a miracle? Now, wait a minute. Let's look at it. We've got four loaves of bread. We've used one. Do we have a miracle? No miracle yet. You don't need a miracle. Why do you need a miracle? You got four more. Yeah, but look at the multitude out there. Until you run out of those four loaves, you don't need a miracle. Is that right? See, how many times do we look in here? And we say, God, I got a few more loaves left, but I'd sure like to have some more bread. Lord, put some more bread with this. The Lord says, well, wait a minute. You got some bread in there. Go ahead and use the bread you got. And guess what? When it gets down to the end, I'll work on it. Hallelujah. He reached and He got another loaf. 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 He's on the fifth loaf now. This is the last loaf. He starts to break it off. No miracle yet. He keeps on. He keeps on. He keeps on. Now, we're getting down to the end of the fifth loaf. I want you to see something here. There are no more loaves. This is the last loaf. You ever get on your last loaf? He gets down to the heel of the last loaf. He reaches. And when He does, did I give you some bread? He reaches, and when He gets the heel of the last loaf, He gives the bread, and He reaches back, and there's still some more bread. And He keeps on, and He keeps on, and He keeps on, and there's still more bread. You know what? Many times we say, oh God, I'm nothing. I am nothing, Lord. I'm just a heel, God. But that's where the miracles start. God can use a heel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's used heels before. He can still do it again. You say, God, I'm at the last of the loaf. I'm the last of the line. God, there's no talent with me. I can't do anything. Oh, God loves to take that heel and start multiplying and working miracles. He fed a multitude with a heel. Hallelujah. You say, I can't preach. If He fed a multitude with one heel, He can feed a multitude with another heel. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Praise God. How many times do you see every time Jesus would reach, it never would disappear until the multitude was all fed. Every time He would reach to get the last bit,
there was still some more. He could never get the last little bit. It kept multiplying. Did you know if you will trust God, if you will give to God, you can reach back. And when you give to God, you think there's nothing else left. But when you reach back to get a handful, there will be another handful. You may think, I'm getting the last handful. But when you give that handful, you reach back and there's a... You can't outgive God. Hallelujah. Quicker than you can reach and get whatever you're offering, whatever you are giving, God will keep that supply bigger than what you can ever give. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why when you've gone as far as you can go and you feel like, I cannot go any farther. God, I'm about ready to give up. I'm about ready to throw up my hands. And you reach back for a little more strength. If you keep trusting, if you keep believing, there's a little more. See, the devil says, one of these days you're going to reach back and there ain't going to be nothing. That's going to be it. Then God will have failed. And He never will fail. Every time you reach back to hallelujah, there is something there. That's why we got to trust Him. That's why we got to sit down and quit worrying about it and put it into the hands of God and say, Lord, You're going to work things out. I don't know how You're going to work it out. You're going to work it out, God. I put it into Your hands. They put that little lunch into God's hands. They didn't know how He was going to do it. They were probably scared, nervous, embarrassed, frustrated, and everything else. Lord, here's a multitude. We're telling everybody to sit down. They think they're going to get something to eat. All you got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Y'all just sit down. Just don't worry about it. Let me handle it. The Creator was there, folks. The miracle worker was there. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Now I want to shift gears right quickly. As we have been telling you, that was the heel of the fifth loaf. I want you to think of this in terms of that He gave all of the fifth loaf. But when He gave the last bit of the fifth loaf and reached back for some bread, He started on the sixth loaf. Well, you say, now wait a minute, there wasn't a sixth loaf. Yeah, there was a sixth loaf. The sixth loaf was His loaf. Hallelujah. You give all of your loaves. You give all of your ability. You give all of your strength. You give all of your money. You give all of your efforts. You do everything you know to do. God, I've done everything I know to do. You're just getting ready for a miracle. Hallelujah. That's when you need a miracle. It's when you get to the very end and you have exhausted all of your loaves. And then you start getting in to the miracle loaf. The sixth loaf. He fed the multitude with the sixth loaf. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. See, that's what happens when a preacher gets up to preach. And he says, my God, I can't preach. I've been preaching 32, 3, 4, 5. I've been preaching about 35 years. I've never learned how to preach. I can't preach. No, sir. Oh, you learn how to get up and put a few words together and say a few things. But listen, you know what you do? You start preaching and you use your loaf, your first loaf, your second loaf, your third loaf, your fourth loaf, your fifth loaf, and you're out of loaves right quickly. I run out of loaves in my introduction. Hallelujah. Praise God. But then what happens? You say, God, I'm relying on You. I am trusting in You. And you can feel when you shift into that sixth loaf. You can feel it when you're singing. You can feel it when you're performing on an instrument. You can feel it when you're testifying. There are times when it's just you and you know it's just you. But all of a sudden you feel it get into God's loaf. You feel it shift gears. You feel something happen. Something begins to take over. Hallelujah. I've seen the service when we would be in our loaves. First part of the service is the first loaf. A little bit later, the second loaf. But oh, I have seen when you get down to God's loaf
And all of a sudden, God begins to minister. God begins to supply. God begins to talk to folks. God begins to sing through every song. He preaches through every sermon. He testifies through every testimony. That's where we need to get in every service. Amen? When it gets down into God's loaf, we're nothing, absolutely. But God loves to take nothing and make a miracle. Hallelujah. If I had a big old black marker right now and we could get by with it with the patrons of husbandry and the pastor, the patrons and the pastor, I'd like to draw three great big old black circles right here. Zeros. Two, three. And then, comma. And then I'd like to draw three more right here, comma. I'd like to draw three more up there and put a comma. Three more and 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 a comma. I'd like to just go all the way around the wall with zeros. Now, how much do I have? Nothing. Then it doesn't make any difference if you have one zero or 1,000 zeros, right? Because you don't have anything. Wrong. All you have to do is walk up here with a room full of zeros and put a great big old one right there. And all of a sudden, every one of those zeros, this zero says, I'm something now. This one says, I'm something. I'm something. I'm something. I'm something. I'm something. You know what? That one will make every zero all around that room something all of a sudden. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one. Yes, He's the only one. Let Him have His way. Trust Him. Believe Him. Oh, you say I'm nothing. How much nothing are you? Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it matters. If you're a whole bunch of nothing, you put Jesus with you and you got a whole lot of something. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The more nothing you are, when you get the one, the more something you are. That's why Paul said he takes the base to confound the mighty. He takes that that is not. He loves to take the nothings of the world. He loves to take the heels of the world and feed a multitude. He loves to take a whole bunch of zeros. You know, I think of David. When David was fleeing from Saul, the Bible says there came to him a bunch of folks who were, they were renegades in a sense. They were all kinds. It was riffraff of the kingdom. It's beautiful to me that many of our Pentecostal churches are comprised of folks that the rest of the churches don't care that much about having anything to do with. I'm serious. Many of our churches are full of folks that who were street people, and such were some of you, I suppose, who were out there in the gutters and the dives of the world that the rest of the church world couldn't do anything with. The nothing people. But oh, you put that one in front of that zero. And all those zeros and all of a sudden. You see, one, that one in front of the zeros establishes value. You don't have to be a mathematician to understand that. So the next time somebody says, okay, how much money you want? Just write how many zeros. Don't write one zero. Write all the zeros you can possibly write. Because when they get ready to write a one or a two or a three, it's going to establish value. When you get Jesus, it establishes value. We who were nothing have become something. We who were not a people have become a people. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's why, my friend, that it is so exciting to get Jesus into your life.
Because I don't care how much you may know. I don't care how much you may get. I don't care how much you may feel like you are tonight. The Bible says man at his best state is altogether vanity. Did you know with all you're getting, if you get the entire world, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Did you know without Jesus we are nothing?
But with Jesus, all of a sudden value is established. Glory, glory, glory.
No wonder Paul, that little hunchback Jew that they claim had bad eyes, that when he would wander into town, everybody would look at him and wonder, what in the world is this fellow all about? Tradition says he was hunchback and probably what wasn't even 5 feet tall, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, and bad eyes. He'd come into town. But you know what? When he got into the sixth loaf, he would say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What do you mean, Paul? I don't have it within myself, but boy, I just keep reaching back. And every time I reach back, there's something else. There's something else. There's something else. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand and thank the Lord. Let's praise Him. Let's glorify Him. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracle. Thank you for the grace, Lord. Thank you for your love and interest in us, God. Oh, I love you. 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 Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you for what you have done in our lives. Thank you for what you're going to do in lives of those tonight, God. Oh, Jesus, did you know you're going to leave here a changed person? You're going to leave here never to be the same again if you will receive the Word of God and put your little bit into the hand of the Lord and trust Him. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how much your little bit is. In fact, God's really not that interested in how big our little bit is. Did you know as much as God can make something out of nothing, He's real good at making nothing out of something too. I mean, if we think we're something, He knows how to make nothing out of something. But when you come to the Lord, if you'll say, God, I am nothing. But Lord, I give my little nothing to you, Lord. Here it is. Here it is, God. And what little bit I have and can do and know, God. You know what Paul said? I count it all but dung.
Yeah.
You know, I used to think when I was a kid that preachers were saying dung. And I got a little older and started reading the Bible a little bit and I was shocked. Especially when I asked Daddy what dung was. I mean, I hope you all know what dung is. We need to know what it is. Because Paul said all of that knowledge, all of that information, all of that ability, all of that big stuff that I thought I was, I count it but dung. Why? Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am nothing. But with Him, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't we love Him again? Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. All right, let's put our little bit into His hand. Put your worries into His hand. Put your problems, your troubles, your frustrations, your failures. God, I give you my loaves. I give you my fishes. I give you my trouble. I give you my heartache. I give you my wishes. God, I give everything to you, Jesus. And you watch God start working. Hallelujah.
All
hallelujah.
All I have is yours.
Listen to the words of this song.
My hands,
hallelujah.
My feet.
Let's offer our everything
my
to Jesus.
Heart.
Hallelujah.
All I have.
Hallelujah.
Is yours.
Oh, yes.
My Lord, I'm yours and I'll never depart.
Oh, that's beautiful. Sing it.
All I have is yours, my Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
My hands, my feet, my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
All I have.
Hallelujah.
Is yours, my Lord. I'm yours, and I'll never depart.
Oh, yes.
All
hallelujah.
I have.
Are you giving him everything tonight? Are you offering to Jesus your talents, your abilities, your future, your desires, the past, the present, the future, your friends, your clothes, your home, your car? Let's give everything to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
My Lord, I'm yours. And I'll never.
When my wife and I many years ago moved into our first house, the Lord had helped us to borrow a down payment from my aunt, my wife's aunt, $1,700. And we were able to move in to our first little house. I'll never forget that day. We walked over to the walls. We placed our hands on the walls and we said, God, we dedicate this house to you. You gave us this house. We're going to give it back to you. You see, I believe that we dedicate our children to the Lord, but I believe we ought to dedicate everything to God. So we started dedicating everything to Jesus. And then when our children got older and got their automobiles of their own, we told them they needed to dedicate their cars to Jesus. So they lay their hands on their cars and they say, Jesus, thank you for my car. You gave it to me. Now I give it back to you, Lord. You say, what's the big deal? Well, there's a real advantage in this. You see, when something goes wrong with the car, you can say, God, your car's not running. Hallelujah. I mean, God, don't you believe in taking care of what's yours, your stuff? Your car's not running, God. But see, when we say, that's my car, that's my house, my clothes, my job, my friends, my future, that's mine. Then when something goes wrong with it, God says, something's wrong with your job. Something's messing up with your job. Something's wrong with your car. You say, well, what's the difference? Will God fix your car? He may not fix it, but it's His car. He'll provide for you to fix it. He'll help you to get it fixed. Yeah. It's His. Hallelujah. I believe we need to give Him everything. I believe we need to take our little lunch and offer to God and say, Lord, I've got a multitude to feed. Now you may look at your family and feel that way, Lord. I've got a multitude to feed and I've got a little lunch here, Lord. There's not enough, God. Especially there's not enough to go around with all the bills. Give it all to God. Whatever, God. You know, everything doesn't fall apart. It's God's anyway. He's going to help you get something else. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Can we understand this? Oh, it's all a part of sitting down. Make the men sit down. Sit down and trust God. Put it into His hand. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying about it. Trust Jesus to take care of those problems. Hallelujah.
Put your family into God's hand. My unsaved mother, my unsaved daddy, my unsaved children, my unsaved whoever. Put all of that into God's hands. Your unsaved husband, wife, whoever it may be, God, I give them to you. I put them into your hand. Too often we are trying to work everything out instead of trusting Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
As we sing again, I wonder if we could just all come around the altar. Let's really say, God, forgive me for worrying. Forgive me for fretting. Forgive me for making a lot of noise. Forgive me, God, I'm going to trust you from now on. I'm going to believe in you, God. I'm going to quit complaining and criticizing. I'm going to give everything to you, God. Give your children, give your family, give your home, give your clothes, give your future, give your job, give your security. God, I give it to you. Take it, God. Multiply it. Make it what it needs to be.
My hand.
Oh, la barakia tala marabaha shatala marabaha.
My
hand. Oh, I love you, God.
My hand. Thank you, Jesus. Is yours, my Lord. I'm yours and I'll never depart. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, I realize as tears fill my eyes what love really means to us all. When we're burdened, discouraged, when we're lonely or in trouble, He's ready to answer each call. And I want to say all I have is yours, my Lord.
Can we trust Him?
My hand.
Can we believe Him enough to put it into His hand? God, I put it into your hand. I trust you in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, God. Oh,
yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Is yours, my Lord. I'm yours and I'll never depart.
We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord.
I'm yours.
We trust you, Lord.
And I'll never.
We trust you, Lord. You're the miracle worker, God. You're the creator, God. You can do it again, Lord.
I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. And I will never depart. And once again, hallelujah, I realize
I love you, Jesus.
As tears flood my eyes, what love really means to us all. Oh, when we're burdened or discouraged, when we're lonely or in trouble,
do what you want to do.
He's ready to answer.
Do what you want to do. Multiple.